We're going to be turning in our Bibles to Acts chapter 12. And as we do that, I'll say a few things up front before we continue on in God's Word. There's you people were wondering about my kids. There's my wife, Allie, short for Allison, and my little girl, Nora, who just turned one. And there I am with our two little girls. That's Elise is the older one. She's almost three, and that's little Nora, who's one. We're at the Costco. So there's my family for those of you, since I think virtually everybody here has not seen them. A couple of websites that have come up at some point in this weekend. This one came up at the breakfast on Friday. This is bucketweek.org. This is a ministry that I've been involved in for about 7 years, I think. It's geared toward young people, with the word young people expanding to a very great range. So quite some quite older young people. It is an intensive week of Bible training, and some interesting things are done there. One of the things that is done is a little speakers workshop type of thing, where people will divide into groups, and there'll be, say four young men that volunteer for this. So if there are four young men that volunteer for this, then there would be four groups of people. So the four young men would give a five-minute message to their little group, and the little group will then critique the message, and they'll give the five-minute message again to their group, and they'll critique it again, and then they'll give their five-minute message to everyone, and then everybody has a chance at saying the good and the bad in it. And we set the environment very friendly. You know, we're all friends there. It's okay. You know, somebody's got to say you did a bad job on something, so it might as well be among your friends. So we set the environment and try to do it where people are very comfortable and can actually get some good, honest feedback. This year, Bucket Week is going to be different. It's normally for both young men and young women. This year, it's just going to be for young men, and the whole thing is going to be a speaker's workshop. So instead of it being a little side piece, we're going to do it a little bit differently. And as such, I don't really expect a lot of people to go. I expect it to be a handful of young men. If it's one, that's fine with me. If it's a few, that's okay too, to sit down and go through a message or two and see how things could be done differently, how they could be delivered differently, and so on. And we just, whoever will show up, we're going to just try and help each other and help improve that way. So that's one thing. The next one is VoicesForChrist.org. This was also mentioned at the breakfast. This is a website that is filled with messages. Messages from capable brothers. There are somewhere around 20,000 messages on the site that could be downloaded. And they're from conferences like this one. And somehow the people involved in this, and I know them, they're out mining and getting tapes sent to them from here and there. And some of them go back in history several decades back. So you can hear messages of people that you've only heard about. They're with the Lord now, but you've heard about them. And you can go back and hear some messages of theirs in the 60s or 70s and on up to present time. The last website is, I guess really wasn't mentioned, is be mentioned now, is the FloridaBibleStudy.org. This is a study that goes on in Florida every January. It's an intensive study, and about four brothers take part in the leadership of it, even though there is a lot of involvement from all that go. It's a men's study only, this one. It's intensive. Brother Keith Kaiser teaches there. Larry Price, Randy Amos, Henry Sardinia, they're all there teaching. It's a real great opportunity. So the advertisements are going to end very soon, and we'll get back into the Word. Just to, by coincidence, I put these three up because I thought they might be of interest to people. I didn't realize until I was finished that all three of these websites were built by the same brother in Rockville Bible Fellowship. And he is an unknown brother to you. If I said his name, I'm sure nobody here knows him. And yet he built this website called Voices for Christ, and they get 10,000 downloads a month. And that's actually old information. I think it's probably up to closer to 20,000 now. Downloads a month of people all over the world. Missionaries that don't get teaching on the other side of the world, they're downloading messages and so on. And here's an unknown brother, unknown to everyone here, and yet he's facilitating such things for the Lord. It's a wonderful testimony. All right, on down then to what we'll do tonight. We're in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. Acts 12, 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. They also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. They fulfilled their ministry. Colossians chapter 4. We'll follow this theme through a couple of verses more. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. The exhortation, fulfill your ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy 4 and verse 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, if you haven't gotten it from the phrases that I have emphasized in the three verses we've read, and you haven't gotten it because your eyes haven't actually looked up on the screen where it actually says fulfill your ministry, we have no hope of conveying the theme to you. The theme tonight is going to be fulfill your ministry. What does this mean, fulfill your ministry? It means finish your ministry. Finish the job, essentially. Fulfill your ministry. And that's going to be our theme tonight. And we're going to look at it in a very straightforward way. We have basically three ways of looking at this theme, fulfill your ministry. We're going to look at it in the life of the Lord Jesus, his fulfilling of his ministry. We're going to look at it in the life of Paul, his fulfilling of his ministry. And then we're going to look at it in the life of you. So let's start with the Lord Jesus. Fulfill your ministry. Is this applicable in the life of the Lord Jesus? Did he have a ministry to fulfill? Did he have a job to finish? Look in John chapter 17. Fulfill your ministry in the life of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 17. And in the Lord Jesus' prayer to his Father, he says this in verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So there you have a certain work that the Father had given the Son to do, and the Son is now praying at the end of his life here on earth, taking into account what will happen, of course, over the next day as well, in his next days in his death and resurrection. He's able to say, I have finished the work you've given me to do. Come back to John chapter 5. This is not something the Lord Jesus simply reported on at the end of his life. Look at John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 36. John 5, 36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Perhaps these are referring more to the miraculous works, but nonetheless, he says that they are works that the Father has given him to finish, and he will seek to do them. So it was not something merely at the end of his life. Throughout his ministry, he has on his mind and in his words this idea that the Father has given him works to finish, and he is going to finish them. Come back now to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now here again we have the Lord Jesus talking about finishing the work the Father gave him to do. Now, is John 4 is the third reference, we've been doing it in a reverse order, but it's the third reference we've turned to that has to do with the Lord Jesus finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. Is that all we get from this third reference? Did I read it simply as a third iteration that the Lord Jesus had work to do and he determined to finish it? Or does this reference have something else in it that the others have not had, that we've read have not had in them yet? There is something else in this one, isn't there? Because in this one, unlike the others that we read, in this one he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You see, in the other references, we merely have the fact that he had work to do from his Father and he would finish it. Or he had work to do from his Father and he did finish it. But in this one, he has work to do from his Father, he will finish it, but the work that he has given is actually his food. And this is really the message tonight. I mean, the message tonight is not just fulfill your ministry. The message tonight is, yes, fulfill your ministry because it is the best thing you can do for your own spiritual life. In other words, the Lord Jesus would here say that he is will do the will of his Father, finish his work, but that action of doing the will of his Father is his spiritual food. Now, when I work for someone, who benefits? Well, I might benefit at the end of the week when I get a paycheck. But aside from the fact that I might get a paycheck for working, who benefits from my work? The boss. Whoever I'm working for benefits. That's why he's willing to pay me some money, because he benefits from it. And God has given to us ministries, various ones for various people. And we work for our Lord. All right? Fine, we work for him. We take his yoke upon us. All right? And working for him, well, who benefits? Well, if we're working for him, there must be some sense in which he benefits. Now, it kind of has our heads scratching now. Well, what do we do that actually benefits him? But anyway, we work for him. And if he has us serving others as part of our ministry, who else benefits? Well, the others that we're serving, they benefit. But unlike normal work, there is yet another element to to fulfilling your ministry. There's yet another element to doing the works God has given you to do, and that is this. It serves you. Well, the Lord Jesus himself would say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In other words, he would say, spiritual food is spiritual nourishment, sustenance, and so on, spiritual benefit. The Lord himself says, it is to my spiritual benefit to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So that's really going to be our theme today, is seeing the benefit that comes to the server in fulfilling his or her ministry. Fascinating verse, isn't it? The more you think about it, the more fascinating it is. That the Lord Jesus would say it is spiritual food to him to do the work. And that's what we're going to see. The other thing we're going to see is that it's the best use of our time. The best use of our resources, the best use of our life is to fulfill our ministry. So the Lord Jesus had a ministry given to him by his Father. He had works to do given to him by his Father. As he did these works, those works themselves provided spiritual food for him. All right? And not only that, at the end of his life, he was able to say he has finished the works. Now, was that the best way the Lord Jesus could live his life here on earth? Doing the will of his Father and finishing his work? We say yes. Now, do we have any indication how the Lord Jesus looks at his work today, for instance? How does the Lord Jesus evaluate it? We just said it was the best thing he could have done. And the Lord Jesus? When he looks back on the labor, Isaiah 53:11 says, he shall see the labor, or some translations, the travail. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Think about that. Now, in our Lord's life, it's a little bit harder to get our minds around because our Lord was God in the flesh. But nonetheless, there is a sense in which he would be able to say, I have seen the labor that I have put into my life on earth, in particular his work on the cross, and be satisfied looking back on it, seeing what was done through it, bringing many sons to glory and all of that, he would be satisfied. All right, let's keep that in our mind and let's go on to look at the life of Paul. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. This idea of fulfilling our ministry and it being the best thing we can do. It's actually food for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12, 1 Timothy 1:12, the Lord Paul says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Well, stop reading there for a moment. Our typical human nature is to avoid work. That's the way we are. I suppose that there comes a time where we can be a slug for so long that we actually want to go out and do some work, but that's the exception. Normally we try and get out of work. There is one job that I know of where people want to be doing the work. Now, most jobs, if you signed up for the job, and suppose you know you're not going to get fired or anything like that, you've got this job, and they say, all right, We've got a few of you people here. There are four of you. Two of you are going to be doing 90% of the work. Two of you are going to be doing 10% of the work. Now, if you were told that there's no, you know, you have no, your job is not in jeopardy or anything like that, which one would you sign up for? Everybody signs up and let the other guy do 90% of the work. There's a job where I can think of where if somebody has this job, they want to be the ones doing the work. And it's American football, actually. You can be on the team, but that's not enough, right? I mean, if you're on the team receiving a paycheck, but you're always sitting on the bench while your teammates are all doing the work, you don't like that. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's the only job I can think of that's like that. And, you know, the guy on the bench, he's always saying to the coach the same three words, right? Coach, what are the three words? Put me in. Yeah, they want to be in. And you've seen it on these, you know, whatever, wherever you've read books or seen movies or whatever you might do. But, you know, you see, you know, that the time comes, the crisis, somebody's injured, they're behind and everything like that, you know, and they, you know, Johnson, get in there. And you see him and he's running out putting his helmet on. And as he's putting his helmet on, he's turning around yelling something to the coach. Thank you, coach. Thank you, coach. Now, pardon the unspiritual nature of the illustration. Look at verse 12 again. And I want you to think about this scene and Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in to the ministry. In other words, for Paul, the fact that he was given a job to do, a ministry to fulfill on earth, was something he was so thankful for. He would specifically thank the Lord Jesus for this. And just from the tone that you can read in these words, he was desperately saying, thank you, Christ Jesus, for giving me something, for putting me into the ministry and giving me work to do. See, Paul wasn't like most of us with regard to human nature, wanting to avoid work. He was thankful that God gave him that job to do. And he had a particular ministry for Paul to do, and Paul, throughout his life, kept this in mind. We're going to see it. He kept it in mind that there was a ministry for him to finish, and he was so thankful for it. And let's trace it through his life a little bit more. Come back to Acts 20. Think about this ministry that he was given. Did he fulfill his ministry? Acts chapter 20. How seriously did he take this? Acts 20 and verse... Let's start reading in verse 22. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But now look at what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy and finish the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This ministry he's referring to here is the same ministry he was giving thanks for that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he took it so seriously that even when he heard that chains and tribulations would await him, he says, none of these things move me. I'm going to finish the ministry I was given. That's how seriously he took it. Now, be turning to 2 Timothy, because we want to trace this through a little bit more. As you're turning to 2 Timothy, let me ask you this question. Did he finish his ministry? Did he fulfill his ministry? He wanted to finish his course, his race. He wanted to fulfill that ministry. Did he do it? 2 Timothy 4. And verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Some of us, if the Lord doesn't come, will know when we are going to die. Some of us will not know. Some of us, it will take us like that, and we will be called home as those of us as believers. But others of us will know when we're going to die, on our deathbed, so to speak. Paul is somebody who knew that he was about to die. And verse 6 would indicate that. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was one of the ones who would know that he was going to die. And as such, he was able to look back on his life, and in verse 7 he was going to say, I fulfilled the ministry. That ministry that he was thankful for, that ministry that he said, none of these things move me, that I may finish my race, my course, that I may finish this ministry that the Lord had given him. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, he's finished his course, and he's kept the faith. Now, as he's looking back on his life then, does he have major regrets? It doesn't appear so, does it? There was a brother in our assembly. He went home to be with the Lord at the ripe young age of 98. Dr. Garns was his name. He was the first black plastic surgeon in the United States. Consummate gentleman and an immense Bible teacher. There was an article written about him in Uplook magazine last July, I believe. And I got to interview him kind of toward the end of his life. I think he was in his mid-90s at the time. And I asked him about looking back on his life now as a man in his 90s, about any major regrets that he has. He said, I don't have any regrets. He came to me later. He said, I wanted to talk to you about that matter of regrets. He identified two times that he thought he missed open doors that God had given to him to witness to certain people. That's what he came up with. No major regrets. To fulfill the ministry God has given you is the only way that we would be able to get to the end of our life, and if we knew the time that we were going to die, to be able to look back on our life to say, I have no major regrets in how I lived it. The Lord Jesus would see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Paul could look back on his life, no major regrets. And the same thing can be true of us. 2 Timothy 4, we're going to move to us now here, you and me. In 2 Timothy 4, in verse 7, we read about the race. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. The race is the course, if you will, the pathway he was supposed to finish. And he says, I finished it. And if you remember in Acts 20, he said that I may finish my race, my course. And the word my is there in the original. In other words, the course given to Paul was his course. He said it was my course I have to finish. It's not the course, although here he talks about finishing the race. He had earlier identified it as his race, his course. In other words, for Paul, there was a certain ministry he had to fulfill. The Lord Jesus had a very unique ministry that he fulfilled. And we're going to see that we have a course to fulfill that's unique to us as well. Look back to Ephesians 2. We'll read a well-known verse. A lot of these are well-known verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Strange phrase at the end. Why doesn't it read, these works which God prepared beforehand that we should do them? How do you walk in them? Read the verse. Does it make any sense? There are these good works. God prepared them beforehand. So the works are just kind of sitting there. And we're supposed to walk in them. Well, let's think about it a little bit more. How many good works are there? Well, it's plural. I guess there are a bunch of them. All right. God prepared them beforehand, and we're supposed to walk in them. Well, I'll show you some here. My fingers are going to represent these works, okay? So we've got eight of them. We won't use my thumbs. All right, there we go. We've got eight of them lined up. Now, if we line these good works up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on, right? What are they starting to make? Starting to make a line, right? Or a path. In other words, God beforehand prepared this pathway or a course of works for us that we should walk in them. What is it saying? The Lord Jesus had a ministry to fulfill. He had works that the Father had given him to do, and he finished them. Paul had a ministry. He says, I'm going to finish my ministry. None of these things move me. I'm going to finish the course that I've been given. And he did. And now we find out that we also have a course. We have works that God has given us to do. What's the best use of our life? To do them. Because when we serve the Lord in that way, and serve others by serving the Lord, we suppose, must benefit some way, because we're serving Him. The one that He has us to serve practically must benefit some way. Is that all that benefits? Are those all that benefit? We benefit, don't we? We benefit in the way Christ said, it is my food to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And we benefit from being able to get to the end of our life and look back and be satisfied with how we lived our life. It's a wonderful thing. God has given it. We should be, Ephesians 2:10, we should be thankful for in the same way Paul was thankful. Remember, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. He counted me faithful. He has enabled me and he put me into the ministry. Remember that verse. We should see these and be just as excited and say, he's given me a ministry to fulfill. I don't have to go through this life and get to the end of the life and look back and say, what was it all for? I can get to the end of my life and look back and see the labor of my soul and be satisfied. In fact, it's the only way to be satisfied. God has given us individually our courses to finish. We won't turn to it, but Psalm 139 says that as we were being made in our mother's womb, being created, God was doing a work where He would enable us physically. And it says as He was doing this, all the days of our lives would be before Him as He's knitting us together in the womb. Or David would say it with regard to his life anyway. In other words, these works that God prepared beforehand, He saw them all as He is putting us together in the womb. Meaning that He has created us physically to be able to fulfill our ministry physically. And at the point of our new birth, He enabled us spiritually to be able to fulfill. At our physical birth, what did He give us? He gave us a certain physical body. And this physical body, with all of its shortcomings as we see them in this life, is sufficient to fulfill our ministry that He would give us after we're saved. Now, we can abuse our bodies, that's another matter. But He's equipped us physically at birth. He equipped us spiritually at our new birth, where He gave us spiritual gifts. Now, just like our body has to grow and develop over life, so our gifts have to grow and develop over our spiritual life. But He has equipped us in a manner in which we can fulfill our ministry. After I got married, I got sick. I don't think they were connected, but I got very sick to the point where they had to do all these investigations. So they investigate CAT scans and all this sonograms, all, you know, ultrasounds, I mean. And did, found out in all of this, I have one kidney. I never knew that. I don't have two. And the ultrasound person was like, "Did you donate a kidney sometime?" I'm like, "No." I said, "I hope you're finding two in there." And she just played dumb. And found out later there was only one of them in there. But I know that whatever limitations this might, it doesn't really give me many limitations at all. I mean, but I didn't even know it. But if there are any limitations associated with it, and these limitations, if they would prevent me from doing some things in life, they would not prevent me from doing the things that I need to do to fulfill my ministry. Now, let me emphasize this matter of my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. I'm going to put a little chart up here. A lot of times this is how we see our Christian life. Now, here we are at the bottom, and we have an arrow going from the Lord down to me. Now, what is that supposed to represent? This arrow coming from the Lord down to me is supposed to represent, as I go through my spiritual life, there are things that I get from the Lord. For instance, in studying God's Word, I learn truth. I get input from the Lord. Fair enough? I mean, is that true? Sure. I mean, I go through, I pray, I ask for God's blessing spiritually, and I read from the Word, and I ask for illumination through His Spirit, and so on. And I learn, and I say, the Lord's given me something from His Word. That's a nice phrase, isn't it? The Lord has given me something from His Word. But that's that arrow I'm talking about, right? The Lord coming down to me. Fair enough? All right. It's also true that the Lord would give things to others who give things to me. Is that also true? Sure. We have all kinds of instances of that throughout the New Testament. The body of Christ working together and the exercise of gifts, and I'm built up and benefited by other believers. All right, so far we get the picture. We know what it's saying. Some things I get input from the Lord. Some things I get input from others. And do you suppose that the bigger these arrows are, meaning the more good things that are coming directly from the Lord and indirectly from the Lord through others, that is good for me spiritually? Yeah, we want to see nice big arrows there, right? Yeah. We don't want to be a little starving Christian, right? You just getting a little trickle of an arrow. We want big fat arrows coming in, right? Yeah. Okay. And we have big fat arrows coming in. That means spiritual maturity. Not necessarily. You know, the military, they try and train people to and give them all the best input they can. And they try and feed them good food and equip them with the right equipment. All this input's given to them. But do you think they're going to be very good soldiers if they just sat on the couch and ate the wonderful food all day and then got, you know... Well, this is only half of the picture, because while we get input from various, from other believers and even from the Lord Himself, and while that is wonderful for our Christian life, that's not the whole picture, is it? There is another picture, and that is this one. Here now, I'm getting things from the Lord, but now I am the one who is giving them out to others. See, in the left-hand picture, am I doing any service? No, in the left-hand picture, I am only the recipient, right? In the right-hand picture, I'm actually not only getting some input, which is wonderful, I'm giving output also. Now, which picture do you think represents the healthier Christian lifestyle? And I'm going to put it this way. The one on the left only, or the person who's experiencing both pictures? Both. In other words, yes, there's good time for input coming to me through the Lord, through others, fine. But there is also the exercise. There is also the service. There is also the output that I give. Okay? You see the two pictures? The Lord Jesus would say, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. In other words, the Lord Jesus would see Himself not only as one who would be dependent on His Father and receive from His Father, all right, but He would also be the one who would work. And He would say that is part of His spiritual nourishment. And it is in our own lives as well. I'd like to tell you a story about my brother. This, if you haven't been listening much until now, that's okay. But listen now, all right? This story encapsulates the truth that I'm trying to impress upon us, okay? My brother lived... He's nothing like me, by the way. He's good-looking, he's strong, he's big. Anyway, he's like three of me. Take two of me side by side and one in the front. That's my brother. And he actually was... when he was 9 and I was 6, he told me the gospel. And that was the first time that I remember hearing the gospel. And it was that night that I was saved. And I talked things over with my mom as well and things like that and got things clarified. It was pretty neat, but we won't go into it. My brother, but till the age of about low 20s, 21, 22, somewhere in the low 20s, I'm not positive, his Christian life was kind of stagnant. Now, I'm not telling things that I don't talk about in front of him. He would say this himself, by the way. His Christian life was kind of stagnant. Now, I know the teachers, the Bible teachers he was around. And I know the church that he was in. I was in the same assembly. I know the messages he heard, because I heard the same ones. He had wonderful input. But his Christian life was stagnant. he was operating on the left-hand side pretty well. Now, I don't know how many things he was getting directly from the Lord, but things through others were coming in loud and clear. In other words, he had great input in his Christian life. He will tell you today that the thing that changed his Christian life... Now, understand, his Christian life was not wicked. I mean, in other words, he was not getting involved in terrible things or anything like that. Stagnant is the best word. Well, it turns out, he will tell you that what changed his Christian life started when somebody came up to him and asked if he would take a Sunday school class in our assembly that had, turned out, the Sunday school class had one student. Now, if any of you knew who he was, you'd know that he was a handful, but anyway, I mean, handful mentally, not just, anyway. All right. One teacher to teach one student. My brother said he'll do it. And he began studying to teach this student. And he took his job seriously, and he tried, with God's help, to understand the scriptures in a way that he could convey them to this young man in the Sunday school class of one. What's happening? For the first time in his Christian life, he's starting to operate not only on the left, but also on the right, where now he is in the service. And he would say his spiritual food was found in doing the work of the Lord. And he started studying his Bible in a way he hadn't studied before, because now he knows he not only has to understand this truth, but in a way that he can convey it, so that this young boy would, he was a 13, 14-year-old boy, maybe a little younger. Anyway, a little younger than that, 11, 12, something like that. But he was a real bright kid. So he needs to give it to him in a way that would benefit him. And now he's not only reading his Bible to understand, he's reading it prayerfully to say, how can I, Lord, convey this to this young man? Well, he started studying his Bible with this regard, and he used to go to Denny's 3 times a week. Do you have Denny's up in Canada? I'm sorry. I apologize. It wasn't my idea to send it. He went there like 3 times a week, and he'd go and he'd sit there and have his meal and have his Bible open and study. People would ask him, what are you doing? Because he knew people there. You go to someplace 3 times a week, week in and week out, and you know people there. You know the staff, you know the regulars. So everybody knew him. And, I'm studying this particular thing in the Bible. Well, what does it say? Well, he began to witness to the people that he knew in Denny's. Well, now the Lord has taken him from being a Sunday school teacher of one to now expanding his ministry. So now he's able to share. Well, this now fires him up even more, because he not only has this input that he's had for the last who knows how many years of his life, he's now giving that output as well. The service and fulfilling his ministry actually vitalized his Christian life. So his ministry is now spreading, and he's excited about sharing the Lord and giving the gospel to those that he comes in contact with and at this restaurant. Well, the restaurant had a particular woman there. Her name was Dottie. She was one of the serving staff. She knew him well. I've met her. I know her a little bit. Nothing like my brother knew her. Anyway, she was not saved. And did not live a particularly moral lifestyle. She had gotten pregnant. She had a baby. The baby died as an infant. She was raised in a particular religion. This religion did not preach the gospel, and she was disillusioned with this religion. And even though she was not saved, my brother had a testimony there in that Denny's. She said, I want you to be the one to speak at my little baby's funeral. Brother said he would do it. So he goes, and now he's depending more on the Lord, and he's praying more about this matter of, and getting other believers to pray about the opportunity that he has. Well, he goes to preach at the funeral. Turns out Dottie had lots of friends my brother didn't even know about. Turns out a lot of her friends were guys that he used to work with at a previous job when he did landscaping. Now, this would have been at a time of his life where his Christian life was stagnant. And it's almost like the Lord allowed him to go back in time, because all of these guys now came to that funeral. And they're all seated, quiet, and their mind is on eternal things, because they're at a point of death, at a place of death. And my brother would open the Bible and read the scriptures and share the gospel there at that time. What the Lord Jesus is now expanding, his ministry is now being expanded. And it all started with what? He started to operate on the right-hand side of this picture, right? And he'll tell you that that was the turning point in his life. There's nothing better that we can do than to fulfill the ministry God has given us. Let's put this picture over on the other side, and I'm going to draw a little picture up here. Voila, there you go. You now know I'm not an artist. But some of you are going to figure out what that is. And for those of you that are quick on these things and can decipher my poor... I had to do this with a mouse, you understand. This is supposed to be the land of Israel. Okay? This is a map of Israel. Now, if this is a map of Israel, what is this right here? Mediterranean Sea, good. This is land over here. What's the long squiggly line going down the middle there? The Jordan River. Does it go from north to south or south to north? North to south. It goes the way you think it'll go. It drops down. Okay, what is the little circle up there? Sea of Galilee, and this one is the Dead Sea. All right. The Sea of Galilee gets fed by water from where? The Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee, right? All right. And then the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee, makes its way on down to the Dead Sea. Where does it flow out from the Dead Sea? It doesn't. Right. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. It can't flow anywhere. Everything goes into it. Why doesn't the Dead Sea just overflow? Evaporation. Good. All right. There we go. We've got it. The Sea of Galilee... Do you think there's good fishing or bad fishing on the Sea of Galilee? Good fishing. We read about it in the Bible. It's good fishing there today. I've gotten to see it with my own eyes. Many of you have too. I've seen a fishing net being pulled in on the Sea of Galilee. It was great. And you can see the net at the top of the water and the net being pulled in. The birds are genius. They get there. They know what's going on. They sit on the edge of the net while it's being pulled in. They know what's going to happen. Dinner is coming right up to them, and they just wait for it. Good fishing there in the Sea of Galilee. Now, Dead Sea. Good fishing there? No. There's a reason why we call it the Dead Sea. Nothing lives there. Nothing that you don't need a microscope to see. I think something lives there that you look at with a microscope, but that's about it. All right. The Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. What water was the input that is responsible for the Sea of Galilee being teeming with life? The Jordan River. And what river is the input to the Dead Sea? Ooh. You mean both seas receive the same input? Well, why is one stagnant and dead and the other one teeming with life? It's not that one has better input than the other. It's that one gets the input but also has the output. And the other one sits like a fat cat on a couch and just receives the input. Right? And when you just receive the input, your Christian life stagnates. You want to be like this picture here where you're in the middle and you're receiving of the Lord and you're giving out to others like the Sea of Galilee does. It's a picture for us, isn't it? If you don't remember anything, remember how that Sea of Galilee works, right? And this changed my brother's life. Now think about you and the assembly. When you come to the assembly and your relationship to your local church, are you on the receiving end only? Do you go to your local church and just get there and say, well, I'm here to be fed? Well, that's okay. I mean, and as far as it goes, as long as you don't stop there. So you're there and you're like, okay, I'm here to be fed. Oh, that's input, input, input. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Wait a minute, that church over there has better input. All right, let me go over there. Ooh, better input, better input. Ooh. Is that going to make you super Christian? No. It's when you come to the assembly and say, Lord, how is it that I am going to be used here? What can I do? And there's lots of things to do besides the 2 square feet of acreage right behind this pulpit. There's lots of work to be done, lots of encouragement to be done, lots of people that need edifying, encouragement, time. There's comfort to be given. Yeah? Plenty of work to do. But we need to come with the attitude of how am I going to be used, not just the attitude of what am I going to get out of this. Well, we'll stop there. Lots more can be said. But fulfill your ministry. It's the best thing that you can do. And it's the most satisfying thing in life that you can do. It'll change your Christian life from being stagnant to being vitalized if it goes the way my brother's life went. And you can get to the end of your life fulfilling your ministry and look back and be satisfied and say, I have no major regrets. Our Father, we thank you for the time in your word. We thank you the way Paul gave thanks to the Lord Jesus when he thanked him for putting him into the ministry and gave him a job to do. He gave him works to finish. We pray that these works, which are different for each of us, we would seek, we would find out what they are, and we may not know what they all are for our life, but we might know what they are for today. We pray that we would walk in them and fulfill our ministry and be able to get toward the end of our lives and say, I have no regrets. And then be able to get to glory and, having fulfilled our ministry, have the Lord show us all that he did with it and have us see the labor of our souls and be satisfied. We ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.